Application number 16713, Mr. M. Waterston, Reel 11.
Mr. Waterston, Reel 11. You talked about prisoners that were taken and were taken off by C Company. There was a story or rumour that the prisoners had been shot. You didn't see anything of this?
Never seen any prisoners shot or out like that, no. There must have been how many should have been a waste of ammunition. They said that they had two companies there around A Company and B Company and HQ Company was around there. Went around there and they must have caught them all. They must have caught nearly all of them. Well, when that day when we were at the lecture at the Vetdale Eye Museum, there was a young little fella sitting beside me. And when I was playing hell what the Downs was saying, you see, no lad, you must not have been there. You know this bloke? I says, Downs, do now. He says, well, I was in the A Company. He says, well, we went round there as those years and went and got captured. Says that's where we were cows captured. I says, I know that. I says, he said, you know, he says, he can't have been there. And when he said Carl and the Blinking Company, I got up and damn it, I was foaming.
When you've come through a day or 2 days of that, what's the initial reaction when you know that you're safe, and what is your initial reaction to
it? Well, Dean Moses, cry your eyes out at times.
Is it a great tiredness, hungry, and
you're uptight, and not I was. When we finished that, when we got organised up there, they took us back. We went back to Lens, we went back to Carvey Inn, and that was where we were supposed to have our rest camp. But the Germans bombed us every day, and that's when we went to Carvey Inn. We went down into Carvey Inn, and we went into Carvey Inn 3 times. And 3 times we pushed the juries back.
Were you involved in this?
He's not alive now. That's George Sells would tell them. We were the only regiment that. We are the only regiment that belted the Blinking Germans back in every position that we went in. We stopped them.
Were you involved in this fighting in Carvin?
Yeah, very much so.
What are your memories of that?
We went down into Carvin. Can you remember when we went down to Carvin in the bus? They stopped the bus in the middle of the in the street there, didn't they? Stopped the bus and they couldn't get through. I wanted to get off there because, geez, see, far back, I recognised the street because at the end of the street, a boat, there was a cross, like a road down there, and I see one of these reflectors on the corner, but you know, for when you look at when you're going round. And when the bus did away again, I've come past some shops and that, and I recognised that's where a bomb dropped in between my section and the other section in front of us. And we lost about 10 lads. Just on that spot. Well, I'm saying we lost about 10 lads. There were only, most of them was wounded, but there was about 3 killed. One was me mate, Bobby Thornton, and Lance Corporal Waters. And just along that road, the end of that road, there's a cemetery, a civilian cemetery, and it one half's Germans, all Germans, and the other half, there's 3 graves in there, and the 3 lads that was killed in Carvey Inn that day, Bobby Thornton, Lord Carl Watson, and another fella. I didn't know the other fella. No, Bob has the photographs there. And I wanted to go along. You see, that was what upset me. They were going to all the old First World War monuments and all that in our places. I was wanting to say where we went, you know, and I knew where most of the cemeteries was.
What was your actual involvement? You were leading your section through the town?
I led the section. We went down the full length of that street, you know, where we came to the end of the canal, where the end of the houses. And we went out towards the pit heap there, you know, the big pit heap. Well, we were gone out of there, and we chased the Germans away from there. Father Dugan was up on the top of the blinking, top of the, and McLaren was up on the top of the hill, directing our artillery. And that's where Father Dugan got his military cross. Father Dugan. And
were you involved in house-to-house fighting at all?
No, it was all out in the open. Good job.
Did you get into a situation where you yourself were actually using your own weapon against the Germans?
Oh, right. We went down there. We came back. The Moroccans told us to come back because the Germans was coming back at us harder. We came back to the street, the main street where the bus stopped there. The second time we came, went down, I only had three men with us. And there was a Lieutenant Clear with us. The second time we went down, he went down with us. We were down there, took up a position, we were sitting out, so he made us come back. We came back, and that was the time that the shell started, shell Carville. And no lads got hit. Oh, they were in a mess and all. Poor Dingy Linden and all them. They came out of there, and then we went back again. And on this occasion, when we went back there, in English, took the only corporal out of the company, Corporal Tate, Albert Tate, took him with his truck to go back to Armentières to try and find us a keep, you know, a place where we'll get a night's sleep. Because we never got any bedding down and out like that, you know. We'd on the move nearly all the time. And, I mean, only if we stopped it on the roadside or something like that, where, you know, we're not a few minutes, 40 winks. Ian went off with his truck. When I asked him, could he remember it? He says, me and my batman went away. I said, you didn't have your batman with you? He said, my batman was away all the time. I said, he wasn't, you know. I said, it was Albert Tate what took back the... And they'd gone back from Carvey and through Seckland, through Gondicourt again, down Gondicourt, the way we came back with the bus, back to Armentières. When they got there, or just before they got there, there was an air raid on, flooded the place, so he come back.
In these attacks that you were putting in, did you get face to face with the Germans themselves?
We never got any much contact with the Germans then, because old Townsend had was carrier, platoon carriers, you know, that had. The Middlesex Regiment did a lot of damage with our machine guns and that. But we went to this. They pulled us out again. And we were supposed to go up to try and catch up to in English. They come back. Says, no road in, no way into Armentières for you. So I can remember to this day, coming back through Carveen and going down that road where we went with the bus there, back to Armentières. When we got to Armentières, the blinking, we were going this way. We were going that way, supposed to be going, I think we then was the time we were supposed to be going to Dunkirk. then. And when we got along, they used to bring in French with our guns pointing that way. So one of the officers that was with us asked the Frenchman, he says, "Why are you pointing your guns that way?" He says, "The Germans is down there." And these blokes looked at each other and said, "Well, the hell they're around there? This is supposed to be a back of us." Anyway, it wasn't long before a convoy of ambulances came, had gone down that way, past us, gone down that way. 20 minutes after, they were on the way back. Couldn't get through. So the Frenchman said, as the Frenchman tells, obviously, you want to get yourselves a way back. So we went back. And that was the time we went back. We went back through the woods again at Carveen. I think so we did. A very bit vague about what happened after this. Till we got to those three farmhouses together. 1, 2, 3. Now, C Company was in the first one. What was left of C Company, because C Company and B Company was supposed to, D Company was supposed to be amalgamated. They come on. They got attacked first. The C Company. We were in the one in the middle. It was my turn to go out into slit trenches on guard. Albert Tate was at the other side of the big hay barn. The farmhouse was just behind us. Lieutenant Rogers was there and Mr. Clear. We had some wounded there. We got into that, there were six of us got into that little weapon pit. And I says, "No, this is no good." So I turned round to them and I picked them out two at a time to get back, send them back two at a time into the dunes. And I says, "Hold the position in there." And I was down in the pit here and just took, you know, the other lads, the rest of the section was laid down. So they knocked the tiles off the top, you know, so they could look through. And that's where the brain gun was. And I was given fire orders with from the brain gun to the... I saw three lads come away from C Company and they come running across. Two of them got across. And I kept shouting at this other lad to come back. I was directing them back, you know, but I didn't know where the devil he went. Must have gotten shot. Because while I was watching them, I noticed the Jerry's right away up, I bet it'd be about 2,000 or 3,000 yards away, setting up a machine gun on the corner. They never fired then out. Well, while I was, my attention was to turn up there, here's a movement down the field divided here, you know, and the fence come down, and see the hedge, you know, just bubbling down past the fence. And I was in the weapon pit by myself then. There's two of them at the door waiting for my gun back, you know. Hattie Backman came saying, "Corporal, how we back, man? Says, "I'll come back in a minute," because it was just getting dusk. I see them come back, and I see the three of them try to get through the fence at the corner, you know.
Three Germans.
I didn't think they expected me, but the first one, he went down straight away. I couldn't miss them. About 150 yards. And I shouted for a fire order from the brain gunner to spray the fence, right away up the fence. So that's what happened. And yeah, boys, I must have killed about 10 of them there. While we were doing that, there was a cow coming down the cornfield. And I started firing at that train gun, because you know, the machine gun must have been starting, you know, seeing what action there, they started to fire on us. So I fired over a couple of magazines off at him. And he stopped. I didn't know whether I hit him or what. Anyway, it stopped. And I'm just looking around, you know. And I watched this cow coming down the field, and it was keep going naked, you know. Looking behind it, you know. And I says to the brain gun, it was old Bob, and his mate was on the brain gun. I says, Bob, I says, can thou say that cow in that cornfield? Oh, I says, say it. I says, knock it down, why can't they? What? I says, what for? I says, knock it down. So, put a set away with the brain going, and he must have hidden it, like, because it went down. It went down. And I tell you what, the blinking juries that threw away from around the back of that, they'd been following it down, you know. We got some of them, four or five of them. Anyway, it started to get a bit out of dark, you know. So I jumped up out the downs, and just as I was jumping up to come out, Harry back and was pulling the door up to shout for us to come back, and I got in anyway. He opened the door at the just the exact time so I could get through. And when I come back around, got around it, I didn't know if you remember Sergeant Bilton. He'd been in the officer's mess all his blinking out. And they met him as, Bob said, they met him as Sergeant Major, man. I says, you never saw, never didn't know when he met anybody, he had him a Sergeant Major. Because he was the only sergeant left in the battalion. I said, what are you doing all day doing here? Get up to them position. I says, you're blinking. Jerry's is just outside. Oh, no. But I jumped up and I could see the flashes of the rifles in our fire. So I started firing at the flashes. Never did not the blinking mortar bomb there hit the blinking hayloft. And I think some of our lads got hurt there. But we got out sharp. We run into one corner, couldn't get a way out. We went in, it was all pigs, there was no way out. So we turned round and we went through the farmhouse. And Captain Rogers, Lieutenant Rogers said, make your way back to Dunkirk. He says, go back to the village. He says, the HQ's in the village. And then you'll go back to Dunkirk. We were only about, this is at Poperins. And it was only about 6 kilometres away from Dunkirk. The jury tells us this.
Just as a prisoner?
So this, we all went out, marched out the field. There would be about 40 of us. Some went this way, some went that way. And most of my company went to the left. Instead of gun, the lads that went straight on, they got back. Bobby Foster and them. They must have missed the Jones, but we led off to the left because I went down to the village, you know, gun round the village, and Corporal Chicken, on my corporals, him and Corporal Tate went down into the village, you know, to the village. We've just gone down to the village when the Seder German troop come by. And they come rushing back and said, we kind of gone through the village. The Germans said, I said, well, HQ was supposed to be in there. He said, well, they're not. They'd gone. HQ went off and left us. So we all went on. And when I got myself organized, we went into a wood at night time for cover. I tell you what, we all went to sleep. There were six of us together, we all went to sleep. When I woke up, I was with four Cosbys, two lads out of the Highland Light Infantry, and a stranger. I says, well, where the hell's all my company gone? Well, Bob had gone back to say where Bobby Foster was. They'd gone, must have gone round the other side of the village, but Bob got captured. That's where Bob got captured. And I went into this wood, and one of his lads says, we left to. When we woke up, you know, I started to get delayed. There's the blinking Germans marching around the road, and we could hear them singing and all that, you know, going down the road. I says, we were on here. I says to the lad, I says, if there's anywhere we want to go, and I says, we want to follow them. You know, the infantry, must be any infantry walking through, you know, the pushbikes and all that. I says, we want to follow them. I says, what do you want to follow them for? I says, if we follow them, I says, we might come up to the sea front. No, not at all the kind. Not gone that way. So, it come to night time. It come to, you know, this lad says, boy, you know, the hungry Scotchman and all that, the thickest two planks. We went up the side of the wood and into where this farmhouse was. And there was a little crane. We got into the little crane. There was two nanny goats in it. And I'll tell you the honest truth, when I about give out there. I was knackered, absolutely jigged. And one of these Scotsmen says, I've gone down to see the woman to see if we can get out of it. I says, there's not gone out of here. I says, well, all these are nothing about. But when I wasn't out lucky dear, the woman come to feed the nanny goats. She said, there's all lying in there, so she off. Ali man, I says, we've had it now. But I was helpless as the comb. Oh, thousands of them surrounded that place, and the harked us out of there.
What?
And I thought at any moment we were going to get shot in the buck. Any moment.
What made you think that?
Oh, the atmosphere of the young lads. There were young lads, you know, cavalry officers and this, that, and the other. And they took us through to a field, and of course they were horse-drawn cavalry, you know them. But they were still had horses pulling the guns. And they dumped us down in a field, and just one or two of them, no, it seemed kind of enough blokes, they come to give us cigarettes and to give us a smoke and talking and this, that, and the other, you know. And look, one of them says to me, he says, you're a Gefreiter. I said, what's a Gefreiter? He says, you know, pointed the stripe on me arm. I said, oh, aye. He says, but you're young, you know. I says, aye, and I was only 19. That was before my birthday.
Were you frightened when they came? Were you frightened when they came? What was your immediate reaction?
I was scared, Steve. As I say, the way they came for us, I thought we were shot straight away, you know. I thought we were going to get killed straight away.
Did they mistreat you in any way?
No, they parked us out, like, out of the dunes with a scruff of the neck and that, like, but they didn't knock us about any dime around us.
Did you have to put your hands behind you?
I think it was because They were getting used to it, you know. There's that many. Anyway, we weren't there very long before there's a little truck came.
Did they feed you or give you a drink at this time?
Oh, no. Well, they hadn't out there to give us. But we weren't there very long, about a quarter of an hour, half an hour. And then they loaded us under a jeep, under a pickup truck, and took us farther away until we came to a became like an HQ company and that, you know. And they took this Scotch bloke, they looked the oldest, into say the officer. When he got in there, he was going to interrogate him. He said, I didn't know what he asked me for. He says, a Lance Corporal out there. I says, well, you rotten booger. He says, I'll tell them who's there. So they went and hawked me in. So I'll give me name, rank, and number.
You speak good English?
Oh, I had two officers. One bloke had been a chef in London. Tell us he'd been a chef in London. Says, what's it like in London now? I says, no, I've never seen it.
So he asked you for name, rank, and number.
That's all we're supposed to give our name, rank, and number.
What other questions did he ask you?
But he asked us all sorts of questions. What regiment I belong to? I says, I didn't belong to any new. I says, I've never seen my regiment, I says, for weeks. He says, oh, he says, I think you belong to Durham's. And he showed us the map of where we've come down and all that. He says, you've come down there. I says, have we come all that way? No, I was pretty, ignorant, you know. I says, any chance of getting out to eat? Before. I says, I've never been fed for, I says, about a week. So he asked the other blokes, are you hungry? No, we'll manage and all, it's clever, big heads, so we didn't get out. They loaded us up into the back on the truck, and your boys, I'd seen the cocos, the jury's gone getting the soup, in the car, and that was better as asking for, My belly started to tow an hour. I said, any chance of getting any of that soup? So he asked the other blokes and they went out. I said, no, we didn't want. I said, you'll regret that. I says, that was how my diversion of getting out of the office to see if, had to get something to eat. But we got out. They took it from there on. They took us to a big school and joined the rest of the clan.
You don't know where the school was, do you?
I haven't a clue. I didn't know where we went after that.
Did you have any thoughts of escaping at this early stage?
You weren't in any condition, man, to talk about escaping. I mean, it was just 3 weeks or 4 months, and he made it past my mouth. I was helpless. I mean, you boys have to talk about walking. I never thought I would have walked as far as I did. And I met some lads that I used to go to school with. And then we met all the lads out of my company and all that, but they'd been captured. I didn't get to see my brother, though. He was on the lift before me. He must have been captured a few days before me.
So you met up with some of your old
I met with
people.
Some of... They rode the Lincolns, the regular soldiers in the Lincolns, three of them together. And we all used to play together up at down Houghton, like when we were young lads.
Leave the County Durham lads.
Aye. I can remember when they went to join up. You can remember when they went to join up.
What state was everyone in the school?
Terrible state. Everybody was one thing, something to eat or a smoke. I've seen lads. I was seeing lads give their last bite. Get a slice of bread in one hand, and offered a cigarette for that slice of bread. And they've given them a slice of bread just for a smoke. For all had never had food for weeks. So I couldn't understand that. I said, I've got any cigarettes. I'm not smoking. I'm not bothered about it. So I never bothered about smoking. But I stuck with these two lads, and we scuffled.
Did you get any food in the school? Did they bring anything
to
you?
No, didn't get out, no. Never got out off the Germans for a week. Until we got to... Because just what we picked up off the road, off the old Frenchwoman was coming out with sandwiches and throwing them among us because they frightened the stand because some of the lads was like wolves jumping on top of the old women that was fetching the sandwiches out to get the blinking sandwiches first. And I met her.
How long were you in the school?
for 2 or 3 hours before we were all matched out, if not. And I met another lad that used to live opposite. Remember I tell you the lad that he was out in the Norfolks, a corporal in the Norfolks. I met him. And he had a blinking jar of, you know them tiny cashew sweets? Yeah, he had a jar that underneath his coat. He says, that's as well as getting them. I was sitting on the roadside. It was red hot. And the having a rest, I'd been up the front of the match, and I says, I'm going to jig it. I'm going to have a rest. I was sitting down the side of the road, and he just looked, what's he sitting there for? I says, because I'm jigged. That was the German. I went, look, it was Adel Bainbridge. And he put his hand in the jar, and he was give me a handful of these sweets. Oh, your boy's revived me in a crack, you know. And I stuck with him for a long time, but we got to cut the Lambsdorff, in fact.